Sanchez, Rang is in Gabu Yard, and the Rang gave me by your mother. That carriage was another Rangi in Sanjay Tana. And then Sanjay Tanja, only do not Tanja the Tanet, the Alana Napal and Gabu Yardis. Today is a new tea chatter, suggesting the one that turned the Alana maybe and gave a chatter, and the Rangi, and the Zoos on your combat top of Shawan and the nation you send it.
So in meaning of what's called the meaning of that quotation in essence explains that the mind which has a clear understanding about the difference that I is the one person and other is in infinite number of sentient beings. So with that clear understanding, whichever mind which thinks that it is more meaningful if I work to remove the suffering of others, in which all the infinite sentient beings include. So it's more meaningful if I work to remove the sufferings of others, and if I work toward leading all those others towards the unchanging sublime bliss or happiness. So in order to do that two purposes, one thinks that at the moment, I'm quite impossible. I haven't got resource enough to be able to perform those two welfare. Therefore, I must attain the state of Buddhahood by any means. So, trying to attain Buddhahood in order to accomplish those two purposes of other is, in essence, what is explained in that quotation as the meaning of bodhicitta, the altruistic mind. And now let's try to generate that mind bodhicitta by familiarizing in our meditation. So let's try to meditate on that for 3 minutes. So great, like as if in normal society, among all the different kinds of men, the king would be the most meaningful one who commands the most prestigious place. So in the same way, this bodhicitta is like the best among all the qualities we could ever have. And in order to have this bodhicitta, what are the two main causes by which one can be able to have this? So in answer to that question, the two main things which can generate or which can cause to have that bodhicitta are love and compassion. The two causes, love and compassion, those two are possible only with dependence on sentient beings out there. And also the very bodhicitta afterward, that also has to come about with dependence on other sentient beings. And also all the six perfections which are meant to ripen the practitioner's own continuum or mind stream, and also the four means of attracting sentient beings which are meant to ripen the mind stream of other sentient beings. And on top of these, also the collections, like the two collection of merit and collection of pure wisdom, which all comprise as a causes to attain Buddhahood. So all these different things, they also have to come about by depending on the sentient beings out there.
Other than that, taba chenpi chi o tenden yada tan mada chi shenga yinza ane tenden yada tan taba chenpi ane je gaiba yeden tongche ane da senche le tenden zhong yinza ane ngana senche le da pe karsa da zaa chenpo o tenden zhong ane senche le da senche je hana taba jeba da zhen jeba zhenpa se zhen se rang le chenpi senche le tenden pa da da jebo taba da yedda gongwa ane gao
So in brief, all the good qualities which are possible by practicing the great vehicle path, all those good qualities will have to come with dependence on sentient beings. Therefore, we have to hold sentient beings as very dear. Therefore, we have to see sentient being as a very delightful object. And therefore, we have to hold sentient being as very precious. So it's possible among you there could be some new students who haven't attended the last teaching and they might think, oh, what's this whole talk about? So for them, extra explanation, it is here we are talking about the faults, disadvantages of being selfish, self-cherishing mind, and the advantages of thought cherishing others. So tonight especially the teaching will be about the benefit or advantages of cherishing others and how or reasons why it is the source of all the good qualities which one can have in one's course of practice on the great vehicle path.
Mīki sēnche tānāyāṁ, dādā nyāla tēne dā, sōchē nyatān jōru shē, rāngshī shēmbē, rāngshī shēmbē cēchī tās. Sētā tīdē yinā tā, sēnche lān dū sīne mīki pā tāyī tī chānāyōṁ, anu dū sīne pā tā shēmbē, jāvā dū shēmbē gōnā, ngā tī pēnā pāmā gā tīne, anu pūgū, anu mīki tāyī tī chānāyōṁ, anu pē pā, kārā sō tā jāvā dū shēmbē gā pā tā tāng chī yāra vās. O tē nō jī gī,
So in the lines in the text where it goes on saying, even if one's eyes may look at sentient beings, one should aspire, one should have a kind of attitude thinking that because of these sentient beings which I see through my eyes, that I am to attain Buddhahood. Therefore, even if I see sentient beings by my eyes, I have to regard them, or I have to deal with them with total love and compassion. So in meaning to this, that quotation, the meaning is, even if one sees sentient beings, one has to think how kind they are, they have been and they are. And with that understanding, one has to look at them with such a kind of attitude of love and compassion as if a person would look at his kind parents.
What the name is a mega tire, that sang a chosen pair, that called a gavacha, mega tire to that, the mega pair, the Nicarasanata, the Champagne and the Pataka, what the carer is, and then so soon in the car of Degger, Sanjay Combate, Saint Jane, then Sanjay Combat of Degger, or this. Their carer, then Saint Jane, then the young, the solar then the tongue and Sanjay Combat of his son, and the Degger only that.
So what are the reasons that even in one's act of looking at other sentient beings, one has to look with the attitude of love and compassion? What are the reasons? So reason is because, the reason goes like because or due to these sentient beings in relation with whom I have to attain Buddhahood, and it's only possible in that way, therefore that serves as a reason that even in such simple act like looking at other sentient being, one still have to look with total love and compassion. So in the text, the example to that subject goes like as if a farmer would very much take care and hold his field very dear, and the reason being because whatever he wants afterward as prosperity or means of income, all those are possible with dependence on that field. Therefore, he takes care of the field and he holds the field as a very dear thing. So in the case of a farmer, in the spring he plants seed, and afterward at the time of autumn he has a harvest, and after that with the sale of his crop he can get whatever he wants to have. So same in the meaning for a person trying to do Dhamma practice, for them the sentient beings are like the field. And now what is the sentient beings are like the field, because Dhamma practitioner like to have perfection in his welfare and in the welfare of other sentient beings, for which purpose he wants to attain Buddhahood, in which there is whole accomplishment in these two aims. So in this case, with the meaning how sentient beings are the field and how the example applies, the example applies in this way: the seed which we have to plant in the field of sentient being is the seed of love, compassion, six perfections, four means of attracting sentient being or disciples. So with dependence on the field, which is like our sentient beings, which is like a field, if we do our practices very well, then we can have the crop of Buddhahood. Therefore, sentient beings are very precious. What the name of the Tat Pella,
rāda tēnī kēgā tā tēmbāṁ tūkī yārvā, o tēn hūjī rēsā, dē, pēdēsā yārēsā.
So the same is with the case of the farmer. If he takes good care of his field, and then if he plants good seed, and afterward he repeatedly have a good care of his field, like watering properly in appropriate time, then he can have a very good crop he may desire, and after that he can fulfill his own wishes, whatever he wants to have, and also he can have others fulfill their wishes by supporting them. So in the text, the example has been explained in that way, and the example exactly goes in parallel with the meaning here. So also the great in regard to this point, the great Indian master Bodhisattva Shantideva has said in his text that the sentient beings they are like the field, and the crop of Buddhahood is possible from them, and therefore it's quite strange whose tradition is it to regard Buddhas as more important and to neglect sentient beings on the other side. So in meaning, the text says that the sentient beings have been what are called so kind, and also now it is only possible to attain Buddhahood by depending on them. And this fact has also been explained by the great able Shakyamuni, that the crop of Buddhahood is possible only with dependence on the field of sentient beings. So in meaning, one support of scriptural quotation is being supported by some higher resources. So this quotation from our great Indian master Bodhisattva Shantideva, Rinpoche has quoted it in so many times in the past in the teachings here, and therefore there is not what I call much a point to go over it all again and again. So anyway, to say it once more, the meaning is on the one side there is the Buddhas, and on the other side there are sentient beings. And Buddhas, they give teaching which are possible source for us to base our practice. Therefore, the half portion for us to be able to attain Buddhahood comes from Buddha's guidance, and the other half has to come with dependence on sentient beings, because it is only possible with dependence on sentient being we can do the practice of six perfection, starting from the perfection of generosity, morality, and so forth. Therefore, in that quotation, Shantideva, he asked the question, if this is the case, that Buddhas and sentient beings are equally important and they equally are causes for the practitioner to attain Buddhahood, then whose tradition, whose manner is it to pay respect to the Buddhas on the one side, whereas completely neglect the sentient being on the other side? And in the text, it goes on with the quotation where, in meaning, it says, the most perfect state in which one is supposed to have completed in attaining or in acquiring all the good qualities. So that most perfect state is the state of Buddhahood. So from where does that state of most perfection in good qualities, the Buddhahood, from where does it come? And it comes from the collections, which are the collection of merit and the collection of pure wisdom. And because there is a question from where it comes, it has to be explained that it comes from by having completed the collections. Now, from where does the collection come about? Collections, they are possible only if one does practices of love, compassion, and all other practice of the great vehicle with dependence on sentient beings. Therefore, sentient beings are so kind and they are so precious that they are so kind and so precious that even if we are to, let's suppose, even if we are to offer to one sentient being all the three realms, the realm, desire, form, and formless realm, meaning the whole system of universe, complete with the environment, its riches, even if we are to offer all the three realms, the universe, to the sentient being, that would not even be what called good enough to feel our repayment to the sentient beings of their kindness. So for us to attain Buddhahood, one factor is the factor relating to the Buddhas, and another factor is the sentient beings, because these two equally are the two equal factors for us to attain Buddhahood. Therefore, we have to do respect. We have to pay respect and regard sentient beings as very what called precious, equally as we would normally do to the Buddhas.
Jebo,
So because sentient beings are so kind and so beneficial to us, therefore we have to hold them dear. So which in the meaning of the text becomes cherishing others. So we have to try to develop this thought of cherishing others. And if we are able to do this practice of cherishing others, then as a result, in future lives, as a temporary accomplishment, we can attain the better rebirth as a human and as a deva or gods. And after, we can even attain as a result the state of complete liberation from all the sufferings and their cause. And finally, afterward, we can also attain the highest state of perfection, the Buddhahood. Therefore, the text explains at this point to hold sentient beings as dear, try to develop the thought of cherishing others. If we neglect sentient being, and if we are completely don't hold sentient being as dear, whereas in Tibetan it's quite different. So if we completely don't hold others sentient being as dear, then all the unwanted suffering, all the things we don't like to happen to us will come about.
What today is that day and Shonju Sendes and Shonju Sendes. Shonju Sendes and then Mobile Ludo and that somebody is in the water. Shonju Sendes and then Mobile Ludo somebody. Chata T no la and then Jede Dendro Nendroy, Detonment and Devote, Saint Jen Lana, Pamba to Neverland and Juman Jesus. Saint Jen Ten and Sanjay, Combo Lame Nienjana.
So you might think Lord is being recited.
Jitin dala, and the dendro said to me, and the dendro said, ni shumores, the what, what, and the shumores, the 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 what, and the sh mondo ndeva ndeva de ndeva de ko tin ngi wa des sen den neva jebe mondo mendere ne dunga ane ta sumare sumare.
So this is being recited from the text written by great Indian master Nagarjuna, and the text being named as Changju Semdul, which meaning commentary to Bodhicitta. So in Tibetan, I think in English we don't require the exact translation of the quotation because it already becomes a commentary. So in meaning, Rinpoche explains the text says, Nagarjuna in the text says, in this whole universe, it can be divided into two, the happy migration and the bad migration, which in easy translation, happy rebirth and bad rebirth. So these are the two, what are called two sides of the universe, two possibility, good and bad, bad in the universe. And the happy migration is what we want. And bad migration or bad rebirth is the thing which we don't want. And the happy migration which we want comes from helping others, being caring others. And the bad migration comes from inflicting harms or injuries to other sentient beings.
What the day in the time, wrong, not even there. And it did draw. Oh, that lot of me. And it did a lot of magic. Call a lot of me in a combo, me in combo tire. And it did a lot of some bass here, with the jazzes here. What the day done, David la. What the day yet. Then detention water. What the day is lot, detain a lot of the year. That's all my zip any. Oh.
The things which we want as what called kind of attainment, achievement, are the things like being born as a human, being born as a deva or god, and being born as a worldly god in the form of Indra or Brahma, and also after that being able to perfect in the whole practices and thereby to attain the state free of all the suffering. So all these are the things which we want and which can be classified in those things. So all these things which we want, they come from helping other sentient beings.
What the name is that? अने सेंचे अने सेंचे न्यावा मरे सेन्या तंडो येदा येदा सा दुमा नंबर दुमा नी सेंचे नाचे न्यावा कांग देने सेंचे नेले सुं जेकां पेंस देवा दं जवा येन दुमा ने लोपर काशे जेमे दे सेंचे ने बिन जेबिंस चेदा तंडे येदा ता तंग जो Nyawas, or Nyawas in a check. The Nyawatarani, Tower Yang at the Nyawat, Tower Noga, Nyawachi, Tawanya, Tower Noga, Nyawajet, Tawanya, Nyawajet, Jenny Jum. They don't have any to know, to do Rita, on the social dominant, to the day. Then the Twan was to the job, to the job, and the shoot at the 20th was what the day. And the yards at the dozen and Sayah never. Lord me. The German is a very little chitty patch of the Sakamoko Mara, and the diggy, that he does. It didn't do what my uncle, what the yard is.
And then the next lines in the text where it goes on saying the all the unwanted suffering which we see in the aspect of being suffering in the hell, hungry ghost animals, they are because of harming others. So the meaning of that text or quotation in the text means there are beings in the realm which are called hell realm or were called ceaseless suffering, where sentient beings can be divided into two groups, those who are in the hot realm where they suffer from intense heat and those in the cold realm where they suffer from intense cold. And then there would be what are called hungry ghosts, which normally can be grouped into principally two, those who all the time suffer from thirst, never-ending thirst, and those who suffer from never-ending starvation. And then there are the beings in the what are called in the realm of the animals, which we see some aspect in human realm, how what are called undelightful and how ugly some of those animals appear to us. So there are all these various sufferings, like suffering of intense cold, intense heat, and then the starvation, thirst, and then the animals each eating one another, and in some realms there can be sentient beings who kill each other 100 times a day and again revived back into life 100 times a day. So all these are different varieties of intense suffering which we can see in those aspects. From where these all come from? So they all come from completely neglecting other sentient beings, what I call being self-cherishing, and because of that force, not cherishing other sentient beings. So the point here also goes in similar with the normal, what I call, quotation from Indian master Bodhisattva Shantideva, where he goes on saying, whatever happiness we see in the universe, they come from thought cherishing others, and whatever sufferings we see in the universe, they come from the thought cherishing oneself. And in the text it goes on saying in meaning, even the practitioner of the lower path, they completely neglect other, and just for soul self-interest, they day and night are so diligent in their practice that they do accomplish what they do accomplish what they want to achieve, but still whatever they at the end achieve will be not enlightenment of the great path, it will be the enlightenment of the lower path. Whereas in the great vehicle, the practitioner, because of holding others dear, therefore the result which he achieves, the highest state of Buddhahood, is possible. So in the text it says, meaning how these two types of practitioner achieve two different results due to two attitude of the mind. So as a practitioner of the great vehicle, we have to do practice on the great, what called precious bodhicitta and other affiliated, what called attitude of mind. And in trying to do those practice, we have to hold other sentient beings very precious. We have to hold them dear. And when trying to practice these practice, and when trying to hold other sentient beings very dear, it is very possible, as we can normally see by our own day-to-day experience, that it's very possible that there would be lot of hindrances, obstacles in our practice, that it may, the obstacle may come in the aspect of other sentient, other people abusing you, saying things which are not very pleasant, and in some occasion even insulting and oppressing. So these things, obstacles, they can be very possible to happen when one trains or try to train in these practices. So when these obstacles happen, our practice become very difficult. So when these happens, and they do happen now, when these happen and when they do happen, we have to try to apply means by which our practice of holding others dear is not overpowered. So we try to find a solution, find means that these obstacles don't overpower our practice of holding others dear. So as a means, there are different ways of thinking, and among which one, as in accordance to the teacher, great master Bodhisattva Shantideva, where it says the way of thinking in such situation is the practitioner should think, or it's possible, of course, that this person harming me, insulting me, criticizing me, of course, in this life I haven't done anything bad to him that has what I call fired him to do these unfair things to me. But still, in the past life, there have been countless past lives, and in all those countless past lives, was possible that due to my afflictions, what I call afflictive emotions like anger, hatred, that I might have harmed that person, which has what I call formed a karma, an action, depositing an imprint, which at this point of my life is ripened. So a kind of that thinking is also a means in such situation.